knowing the opposition that people had that wanted to come or were willing to come and couldn't come. In fact, Terry and Rick Trout from Indiana said, Rick said to his wife, let's just get in the truck and let's go. So many things were happening that would keep them from coming. And Gunkels made it down. Painters made it down. It was good to see them. And we'll talk, like I say, we'll talk about the trip later. But things that happened to people, to one family, to one couple, after they had seen it. And what happened to them personally at night, then that following night. And what they did with what they were taught was disastrously damning to people who were around them, mocking. And the challenge of the equipment, flying there. All the things, I'm just convinced that this is probably the most dangerous, I believe this is the most dangerous message for this world to hear, for Christians to hear. We dealt with strong Baptists. We dealt with a strong creationist who thinks you need to go back to Genesis to make things right the way God designed it in the first place. And to take America back to... You've heard me talk about that. What does America need? Does America need to go back to the Ten Commandments and the law? No, it needs to go to the risen Savior. And I'll tell you, and we'll talk about it probably in the sermon. There's been a conspiracy against the teachings of Paul since Paul. And I experienced it firsthand when I know some guys that I had talked to, and their pastor would not let them go for whatever. And so they didn't go. And then the last couple of days, the man is back there talking to Jason again because he knows it's what's right. Then I got a hold of a Baptist manual, teaching manual, Baptist doctrine. And we'll talk about that sometime. You know, we're not here to bash Baptists. We're not here to bash Lutherans, Presbyterians. I have to say, I have been here before to bash Baptists and Presbyterians and Lutherans. But we'll talk about that later, another time. We'll talk about that later. So what I thought I would do this morning, we got some folks visiting from Tri-Cities, and we're going to do this during the main service, but I'll do it this morning. We'll do it quickly. And what I really wanted to do is I wanted to go through this thing. We'll take all day to go through this thing. We'll look up all the Bible verses and the whole spiel. And after showing this presentation, you know, seven times, I realized something was missing. And what I'm showing here is nothing but opinion. Really. I've got scriptures there. I can prove it. But I could also take that Bible and I could prove Pentecostalism is scriptural. I could also prove the Catholics are scriptural. I could show the JWs they're right. I could show the Mormons they're right. By going into this Bible, I could show a different way to rightly divide. I mean, it's all in there. It's in that one book. So what makes this so right? Well, you'll see when you look at the scriptures. And the frustration I had after seven times of showing this thing, I said to Jason and Kenny, I said, listen, I'm not preaching. I'm not putting the Word of God to these people. I'm showing them what appears to be a rightly divided opinion on how to rightly divide your Bible so that everything can make sense. I'm not able to show them the scriptures and show that it makes sense. That was really hard. So the last two presentations, I had to preach in there. Well, the one that I really, because I knew somebody was there and we really had to work on this creationism stuff, I guess it was a 2.5 hour session with the music and the singing and the preaching and the whole spiel. And I didn't recognize that. I mean, 2.5 hours. I can recognize 2.5 hours. And none of us recognized it at all. Maybe Grandma did, because she can recognize anything past 15 minutes. But it was a good time. And it took, she says, I've seen this thing like 8 or 9 times now, and it starts to click. So we'll do it again this morning. We'll do it quickly. And I've added some things to it at the very end of it. It's just to sit back, don't take notes, because you got the brochures. I've updated the brochures a little bit. And just realize that this is the message, or this is the way a Bible being divided, the devil hates. And he will do anything he can to to stop that. He will destroy a church. He will destroy a family. He will cause things to happen in your life that you cannot go to hear this or to deal with this in your life. I got a couple emails while I was gone. There's a family that the husband and wife were just having terrible times for a number of years. And he wrote me while I was down there in Salina, and he said, just to let you know that we have come together in this thing. She finally understands it. And we do home church, and we listen to all your sermons out of Tushy all the time. This thing has changed their lives. And a couple other emails while I was down there. So it works if the devil can just not keep you from getting to it. So here you are. This is just what I've termed to call Paul's Greater Commission. And in a nutshell, we all know that Jesus Christ died and buried and rose again. And we know in a nutshell that the teachings that Jesus did in the Gospels are true. They're not lies. It's not a false gospel. It's just that he taught those teachings to the Jews, and they were not to be taught to the Gentiles while they were there. Then when he told them when he was done to go out and teach those teachings to the world, to all the nations. And if they were to do that, to know that it worked, they were going to have signs and wonders and healings and miracles and playing with poisonous, drinking poison, playing with rattlesnakes and poisonous snakes. And there were going to be signs that followed that showed that what they had was they had the real thing. Well, they did that. And that's in our Bible, Acts 1 through 8. After that, they killed Stephen. And because of that whole shutdown, the Jews rejected the kingdom of heaven, the earthly kingdom, and the kingdom of God. They rejected that by killing Stephen and ignoring Peter, who was the apostle to the Jews, the circumcision. So it goes on to Paul. And he tells us that Paul is our apostle. He is the apostle that we're to follow. And it just makes sense that when Jesus Christ died and buried and rose again, and now the risen Savior is going to go to the Gentiles because the Jews rejected the earthly Savior, just makes total sense in that Bible that the risen Jesus is going to teach things to the Gentiles. And he's going to do that through Paul. Not through Peter. Not through James, not through Jude, not through Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, not through the Old Testament law, anything like that. Now, for some reason, that is hugely radical. And for some reason, it's hugely evil to people. I've never seen the resistance. Here, we've never heard it before, and it's shocking to some people. And the first time they hear it, they go, that's pretty weird. And then those that are studied in the church doctrines, well, that's just hyper-dispensationalism, and that's wrong. No, this is not hyper-dispensationalism. We know what that is, and that isn't what this is. So, we're just going to go through the entire Bible this morning in the next, what have we got left here? 35 minutes probably because it's Sunday school time? Quarter till? Okay, we'll make this as quick as possible here. We don't have to go through much of this because we've seen so much of it. But Paul calls it a more excellent way. Now, I call it the Greater Commission because the term that most churches use is the Great Commission. So, it's the only reason I top in the word Greater Commission. It's not a biblical word. Well, neither is rapture, so we get over that little tweak pretty quickly. But Paul does call it a more excellent way. Doesn't say it's a different way. It's not a right way when the past was wrong. No, the past was right. It was God's way then to the Jews. Now we're looking at a more excellent way. He also calls it the way of God more perfectly. Perfectly meaning finished, as defined within the way of God more perfectly with Paul's gospel of grace. It's just grace to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth. In Philippians, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, me is Paul. Because we'll see the references here where Jesus Christ met with Paul and told him what he'd tell him. And we'll see that in a minute. But if we were to do those things, and it's not always works, it's a belief, it's a faith, it's a trust, then if that's the case, then you'll have the God of peace. Not the peace of God, but the God of peace. And having the God of peace, you'll have a peace of God. As this world falls apart, we're not going to fix it. America is not going to go back to the Ten Commandments. It's not going to go back to the Levitical law. If anything, it's going to go back to the Great Commission in the Gospels. Because of the Antichrist that has to come. But it certainly isn't going to go on to the risen Savior. That could be because the risen Savior's teachings are through Paul. And they hate Paul. I'm telling you, they hate this stuff from Paul. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, me is Paul, the risen Savior was revealed to Paul, and then he was going to preach him among the heathen, and the heathen are the Gentiles, everybody else in the world. And the Jews could listen in if they wanted. And some did. So when you look at that little, I should have got my pointer going. When you look at that little phrase, to reveal his son in me, then the risen Savior was revealed to Paul. Nobody else. Paul. So we study Paul's teachings to learn about the risen Savior. I call it living the risen life, but now I've changed it to learning to live the risen life. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles, there it is again, the unsearchable riches of Christ. It says that over and over that Paul is the one that we're supposed to study. And if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, well, see, grace has been in the world since Adam and Eve. And it'll be there until he comes back. But this is the only time there's a dispensation of grace. And I'll explain that in the first service in a way I'm not sure we've ever considered. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. Who's my ways? Paul. Which be in Christ is the risen Savior, not the earthly teachings, as I teach everywhere in every church. And I had somebody write to me, they'll be the greatest Catholic, greatest Baptist, greatest Christian in the world, and because there's still sin there attached to that, to your works, you can't please God. It's an amazing thing to study and to learn. Whoops, I think I might have unplugged everything I write there. So we'll just, like I say, we'll just zip through this thing. Here's the verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we have to do. Study. And I've learned that the folks I try to show this to, that if they haven't read their Bible cover to cover, then they have no idea what we're talking about. It is really important to read your whole Bible. Not just study the Baptistic teachings, not study the JW teachings and the Seventh-day teachings and the Catholic teachings. Of course, they go to a different Bible, but they could show it in a King James Bible. No, you've got to read that whole thing to see how this fits in. So here's what the whole thing consists of. It consists of a throne. And who's on the throne for God? Who's running the ship here? We've got kingdoms of this world. This world belongs to Satan. He's the god of this world. And why we forget that, because we're Christians, we tend to think that, well, because we're a Christian now, this world's going to treat us nicely. Well, we've learned that it isn't. It just isn't. Actually, it treats us worse. God of this world. And all the capabilities of Satan to produce miracles and good works. His ministers are called ministers of righteousness. They're doing good things. So, anyway. Kingdom of heaven is a visible, physical kingdom. It isn't heaven up there with clouds and harps and trumpets and flutes and pianos and hamburgers and things like that. It's a physical kingdom down here. And then the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And those are the verses. We won't go through those verses today, like kind of thought we should, but maybe we will some. Maybe you already have. Okay, so here's the Old Testament. And we'll do this thing fast. These are all the main times of the Old Testament. Now, if you've never read the Old Testament straight through, and I know some of it is very boring, I guess they say, but you need to have read that thing. You get into where there's Satan, and he's the god of this world, Lucifer, the ruler of darkness. So we know that this is his place. Then we got Adam and Eve. You've got the Son of God, he's the Son of God. He's actually called the Son of God, made in God's image. So that's reality. It's the way it was. And during that time, we had two crowns: Kingdom of Heaven and Kingdom of Earth. They were clean, they were holy, they were glorified, and it was on this earth. And if she just wouldn't go traps out into the garden and eaten the things she should have eaten, we'd still be having a great time. So then. She falls, and I want you to notice the crown going up, because I had to pick on some people back there. And now we've got the kingdom of heaven. It's an earthly kingdom. Through this earthly kingdom, we had all these leaders. We had Isaac, we had Abram, Noah, Jacob, Judah, Moses, Saul, David, Solomon, Jeconiah. Now this Jeconiah guy, he's got something famous. In Jeremiah, God tells us that he's done. There will be no more male seed on the throne. Nobody's going to be on the throne of God on this earth anymore. He's tired of what they tried to do. Now, see, you've got to read all that just in your general reading to recognize that sort of a thing. So now Jeconiah, because the male seed is cursed, nobody's going to be on that throne anymore. Now that earthly kingdom is done. And that's why I've got that one crown disappearing. Now, what you see there is there's no kingdom of God on this earth, and there's no kingdom of heaven. Now the next king that comes along, Zedekiah, his middle name is Obama. There's no kingdom to be a king of. He's worthless, nothing's going on. It isn't God's plan, it isn't the way it's, but he's king and they're doing zippity doo dah, and he's actually a buddy with the enemy. So there's nothing there. So because there's no kingdom of God and a kingdom of heaven, the devil can have a great time. So here comes Nebuchadnezzar. He takes over the people. He runs the ship. And that's just what takes place. Type of Antichrist. Then you got Daniel and the prophets, major and minor prophets, preaching during all these times. There's what you have for the Old Testament. Now, if you've read that, you see that. Now, here's where we get into some stickler stuff. The Old Testament still contains the Gospels. Can I have a watch so I can see what time it is as we do this? Like a big watch with big numbers? Like really, really big numbers? Ah, I like big numbers. Thank you. I'm actually skinnier than you. Wow. First, you're a muscle. Mine is just bone. So we have the Gospels, which are still considered Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that until the death of the testator, there is no New Testament. So until Jesus Christ dies, that's actually still Old Testament. So the Gospels is Old Testament law. And here's their Savior, Messiah, coming down to them. He was baptized to manifest himself to them. John the Baptist came ahead of time and told everybody, here I am. And if they'd have followed him, they would have had both the kingdoms again, just like it was at the beginning. But they didn't. They killed him. And so until the death of the testator, until the death of Jesus Christ, then begins the new doctrine. But until then, it's still Old Testament. So we have John the Baptist that comes around here, make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And those are all the verses that prove all this stuff. He's a messenger. He's a voice. He's to show people that Christ is coming. Your Messiah is here. And his ministry was the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Well, he couldn't wash the sins away yet because he hadn't died. So what are we doing going back to the Gospels for our teachings of salvation? Matter of fact, in the Gospels for salvation, all they had to do was believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. So when people, we heard this at this meeting. So you're saying there's two Gospels? Yes. The Old Testament people had to follow Jesus by believing that he was the Messiah. Simple as that. Now, today, if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, is that our salvation? Not at all. Faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and et cetera, et cetera. We'll get to that in a minute. So, it's an amazing thing. I mean, I had a guy going off to mission field. I had a guy studying this. I had a couple of Baptist solid guys there. A lot of men. I mean, that was exciting. Men that were checking this thing out. And I just said to them, I don't get this. This is as plain as day. You're a King James Bible believer. The room is full of King James Bible believers every time. King James all the way, right? That's the Bible. But did you know that in that little section of your Bible, you hate that? You call that an evil way. Oh, what are you talking about? Well, we'll talk about that today. So we go into, see, there's both kingdoms now. He's there for both kingdoms. If they'd taken him as the Messiah, everything would have been hunky-dory for the Jews. Just for the Jews. And then those Jews would have gone out to the world and, you know, witnessed to the world. And we have all gone to Jesus Christ because, yes, he was the Savior for the world, but would have been done to the Jews. And the 12 apostles and that kind of a thing. So we have Jesus Christ, now God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us that. Son of man, Son of God. Kingdoms are at hand, you folks. Here he is. The Messiah is here. You can rest assured. He'll take care of us. But he was there to the Jewish nation. He was not there to the Gentiles yet. And you got to read this in your scriptures. He told them, do not go to the Gentiles. Matthew 15, I think it's up there, verse 24. There's this Gentile lady that comes to him and he says, listen, I can't help you, ma'am. I'm here for the Jews. But she had great faith because she recognized she was a dog, because that's what the Jews considered the heathen, the Gentiles. So did Christ. Dogs. But because she recognized that, said, Lord, Master, I'll just take the crumbs off the table. And he said, you've got great faith. So you know what she had? She had faith. All the people in Hebrews chapter 11, it's the great hero of faith, hall of fame, is because of their faith. See, today in Christ's teachings through Paul, now our faith gives us the faith of Christ. Galatians 2:20, 2:21, and 2:23, I think it is. So their faith was their faith. So that's important. Okay, so then We have, here's the verses that tell you what to follow Jesus. Well, of course you follow Jesus then. He was their Messiah. But they're to follow Him as a nation. Must sell all things to follow Him. Then comes the crucifixion, and then this is when the New Testament begins, the doctrine. And He tells everybody to go out into the world and teach them what His sayings were, what He taught. Teach the world. That's called the Great Commission. And yes, it was a true teaching in its day. If it's taught today, it's false. Here we go. If the Gospels are taught today, to us, it's a false Gospel. But we still study it. We still read it. We still learn about Christ. I went back to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, because one of the guys back in Ohio suddenly is just getting this stuff. And he wants to knock down this wall that he created. We'll talk about that later. And went back to Jeremiah 1:10. Remember Jeremiah 1:10? Root out, destroy, take down, whatever, then plant, that kind of thing. Same thing works for us. So there's things to learn in the Old Testament. It just isn't written to us. It's just written to as history. Then we have the kingdom still offered. Christ still offered the kingdom to the Jews because He did it through Peter and Stephen. Okay, Peter and Stephen. Peter's the apostle to the Jews, which is what it says, to the circumcision. Stephen was a good preacher until he got to his conclusion, and his conclusion got him killed. Oh, ye stiff-necked, and he just didn't have a care for the people. He just told them like it was. So they killed him, and Paul was there. Stephen is stoned, kingdom postponed, there goes the kingdom of heaven. Earthly kingdom. They could have had it. They'd have done it, and he would have still come back and been their Savior, but they didn't. Now we're in a kingdom of God situation, spiritual kingdom only. And that's taught. The Jews had to learn it. Peter had to learn it. And that dream with that sheets coming down with all the bugs and food things. Apollos was converted. Acts chapter whatever. So, now from here on out, we have the New Testament. Death of Jesus Christ. The death of the testator. Now we go on to Paul. Romans to Philemon are what we should study. We should read Genesis to Revelation. We said this there. Read it all, but follow Paul. I thought that was kind of good. Thank you very much. Anyway, but that's what it's supposed to be. And when you follow Paul, you're following the risen Savior. And that's one of the things I leave out too much, is we're still following the risen Savior. But He tells us to follow Paul as He follows Christ. So, Paul is not our Savior. Paul is our apostle that teaches us about our Savior. What about the 12 apostles? They taught to the Jews. We got one apostle teaching to the Gentiles. Why this is so complicated, difficult for people. Here we go. All sorts of things from Paul. Apostle to the Gentiles. Here's God's will to Jesus. Raise it up. Raise Him up. Talking about salvation. Talking about inheritance. When Jesus Christ is gone, Paul meets with Christ face to face. Those are the verses that show that. And that will that God gave to Jesus Christ was the same will of the Father that was given to Paul. People need to be saved, and they need to learn that it's all about an inheritance. We get to be joint heirs with Christ to that inheritance in the Jews. The judgment seat of Christ is a whole different issue. So if we took the time, which we won't this morning, but it's on those brochures, there's your ministry for Paul. And this is only some of it. And they're hard to read, but Paul ministers, Paul preaches, he's a helper of our joy. He's the one that teaches us all these marvelous things about the risen Savior. He's the one that would get us to open our eyes. And when you realize, remember that I thought of that this morning, that when you realize that he said one of his things in Acts 26 when he was talking to King Agrippa was to take the Gentiles and turn their eyes, to enlighten their eyes, and to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. And it just clicked this morning, which is how slow my clicker clicks. We've been talking about the evil way and against. Is it any wonder why Satan doesn't want this to happen? I mean, when we realize, and you probably already thought this and recognized this, but I didn't. I'm a musician. I'm slow. I need to go back to my repeat and do it again. You know, one of those things. That if we're going to take people and teach them the Paul's way, we're fighting against the power of Satan. Ephesians chapter 6. Now I understand that spiritual warfare that takes place. I experienced it. It was hard. And what we have going on here, challenging us here, is the power of Satan to keep this message right here from getting out. I believe that. Paul's gospel of grace is mentioned a number of times. Following Paul is following the risen Savior. Says that a number of times. Paul's ways deliver us from all sorts of different things. Learning to walk His walk. He guides our walk with the risen Savior, with the risen Christ. And I can't help but say to these people that were King James Bible, listen people, you are King James Bible believing people. You believe that Bible is the Word of God, preserved, inspired from Genesis 1 all the way to the last chapter of Revelation. And I'm sorry to tell you, but this is in your Bible. And how can you reject this? In fact, you reject it so much that you're trying to get your churchmen not to come and hear this. It's a bad thing. You don't want your churchmen to hear it. You don't want your wives to hear it. You don't want your children to be taught this. But it's in that Bible you claim to be the Word of God. And it's not separate like everything else. It's all in there. But can you not see this? It's in there. That little section of your Bible is evil. It's a wicked way. I'm just puzzled at that. Live beyond the crucifixion. I put that in there because so many Christians, it's like I say this, we're nailed to the cross, so many things we can't do, so many things we can't wear, so many places we can't go. Oh, woe is me. It's so hard to be a Christian. No, get off the cross and live the risen life according to what Paul teaches from the risen Savior, and it isn't that way. He calls it a more excellent way, which we've talked about, a more excellent way, 1 Corinthians 12. Now, there's salvation today. Those are some of the verses that talk about salvation. As compared to salvation in the time of Jesus in the Gospels, in the Gospel time, they had to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Today, we have to put our faith and trust in Him. And then He will give us His faith. He will give us His helmet of salvation. He will give us His righteousness. It's an amazing thing what's taking place today. I believe without a shadow, we got into this one too. That which is perfect is the King James Bible. That which is perfect has come. I'll tell you what, if it isn't the King James Bible, then there's a lot of things that are still supposed to be going on. And we got some more Bibles coming. I don't believe that. So, it's a spiritual book. We have a spiritual kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. That Bible separates the differences between what took place then and now. Anyway, that's all another sermon. Here's the part, Hebrews to Revelation, tribulation, millennium, application. Hebrews and Revelations aren't written to us. They're written there for us. If I get the time, I'll show you that really quickly here. Fullness of Gentiles is the rapture, by the way. Let's see here. Rapture. Watch the crown. I took a long time to do this. I said this there, too. They all had to see this. But watch the crown over Paul, because in the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, that's the rapture, then that kingdom of God is gone. And guess what we have? We have the judgment seat for the Christians, but now we have no kingdom of heaven, no kingdom of God again. And what happened up in the top black section on Nebuchadnezzar when there was no kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven? The devil had a heyday. He's going to have a heyday again. It's called the tribulation. He's going to come down as the Antichrist, walk to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And those are the books that explain that stuff. So the books from Hebrews to Jude are not written to us. They're there for us, but they're not written there to us. And we've learned that if you go to Hebrews, you can lose your salvation. You can be taught that. If you go to Hebrews, God will chastise you. If you go to Hebrews, you have to follow your pastor. If you go to 1 John, you can lose your salvation, but you can confess your sins and get it back again. If you go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, a Catholic can be saved because he confessed his sins for forgiveness. I mean, it's just atrocious. I don't know. It's just terrible what people are doing in those Bibles. They'll go to the Hebrews, the Jude books, and then combine them with the Gospel books, and they'll tell you, here's how you have to walk to follow Jesus in His footsteps. You actually have to imitate Jesus, and we'll put the guilt on you from Peter, because Peter teaches you, if you don't do that, you can get hammered by God. That's the modern Christian message that's being taught today. Or you get the lovey-dovey guys by going to 1 John. And that's not true. The way that it's taught. So we have the second coming, we have the millennium, and here come both the kingdoms again, and this time it'll work. But notice where the books talk about it, the Gospels, Hebrews, the Revelation, Malachi. The part we're supposed to follow is Paul's stuff, right there in the middle. Paul's Gospel of Grace, Romans to Philemon. So, there you have, and a lot of you haven't seen, and most of you have seen this, but I don't think everybody has. So there's a chance for that. Now, this little thing right here at the very end, we'll skip all this. This is just, I can tell you families, I can tell you names of people who have had these scriptural understandings fix their lives. And only these things can come from Paul, and these are in the back of your book, or back of your brochure there. We won't go through those. Look on your brochure. I mean, my frustration as a pastor who knows what's going on in people's lives, these things can be fixed, but they can only be fixed by following Paul's teachings. And it isn't just do's, it's believes, it's understanding, it's comfort, it's peace. It's just many things. So we won't go through that. Just got a couple of scriptures I want to read to you here before I show you one more quick little thing here. To him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel. My gospel is Paul's. So we are established by Paul's gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ. Well, of course. But the preaching of Jesus Christ has to be according to the revelation of the mystery. And that's Paul, Ephesians chapter 3. Those that know this, ring a bell. I mean, isn't it there? I mean, do you see this stuff? So, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Do this quickly here. Come on. Respond there. Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Not obedience of baptism, obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Another verse. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, which I'm not. The testimony of Jesus Christ goes back from the creation to the Old Testament, to the Gospels, to Paul's time to the Great Commission, to Paul's time to the Gentiles, the Second Coming, and the Millennium. That's the testimony of our Lord. So I'm not ashamed of that. We're not ashamed of that. But I'm also not ashamed of Paul and his teachings. He was his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the Gospel according to the power of God. And this is where we lose people. You can go out and be a mid-Acts Christian and not have those afflictions. So that's the wall that we have to work on here, if we can. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Our strength is in God's grace. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. That's what I want, is to get some men to go out and teach some other men this sort of a thing. Study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if we don't do that, we're following profane and vain babblings. That's religion. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Nobody's Calvinistically being picked out of the crowd. Everybody has that opportunity. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. See, Paul's message is still to live like a Christian. It isn't just grace and have a great time. It's grace as you're learning how to live right, to please God, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, not fighting them, but zealous, not coming up with excuses to do what we do, but fight, you know, zealous of doing right, if at all possible. These good works must not be according to the Old Testament law or the gospel writings to the Jews or to the writings to the tribulation saints from Hebrews to Jude. These good works must be according to Paul's gospel. He says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, of course Jesus Christ is the judge. What's he going to use? Paul's gospel. We're not going to be judged by the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be judged by Paul's teachings. Paul lays the foundation with Jesus Christ, and then he's our master builder. We follow Paul. We build properly on that foundation. It's just so simple. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I have it signed by Paul, even though Jesus Christ is the one that said that to him. And then at the end here, if any man think of himself to be a prophet, which we know a lot of people think they're prophets. It is amazing. He's and she's. But now this can fit into us. Or spiritual. And I had a room full of spiritual people over this last week. He says, okay, if you're going to be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I, as Paul, write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That is a really hard statement. If you are going to be the Christian you say you're going to be, then you need to believe that what Paul wrote is what God told him to write. Then the next verse, and this is where I have a hard time with this because I don't want to leave it here. It says, but if any man be ignorant, if they don't get it, and they don't want to study to find out, and check it out. You know what he says? Let him be ignorant. That's just what he says. That's where Paul gets his peace. If it be possible, as much as lies within you, you know, live peace and be with all men. But if they want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant. That'll make you a lot happier. Now, let me show you real quick, like here. Try to help explain a question a lot of people have. Yes, they do. There it is, right here. We'll go to this page right here. Now, I want to show you visually why Peter, why Hebrews and James and Peter, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, are in the Bible where they are. This is the design that if the Jews would have accepted Christ, well, they still crucified him, so the crucifixion still takes place, and Peter becomes the apostle to the Jews, Stephen comes and does his message. If they would have accepted that, it's called the Great Commission. When Jesus came, the kingdoms were there. They offered to him again. If they would have accepted that after they killed him, Peter says, we're going to go through the tribulation. Because God has to spank him for killing his only begotten son. So we have in this section right here, we have Peter, James, John, Jude writing to the Jews about the tribulation they're about to enter in. Make sense? Because they lived during this time. So the books that they're writing to prepare their people to go into the tribulation, when they killed Stephen, it was separated. Now, we have over here, for the times of the tribulation, Peter, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, James, Jude, Hebrews is over here. Paul wrote to the Jews and tell them what it's going to be like during the tribulation. So those books are listed over here still. Then we have this middle section where Christ, the kingdom was rejected. Christ went on to the Gentiles by going through Paul. And here's some of the verses that just talk about it. We can just on a track for them. You can look at them later. But this is where I want you to see who we are today. So here's the books, Romans to Philemon, Gospel of the Dispensation of Grace, the mystery that was revealed through Paul. This is the church, the body of Christ. This is where we are today. I kind of personally think we're about right here today. Just waiting. Because things that are going to take place in the tribulation are starting to show up over here. Now, where did the books that were written by James and Peter and Jude to the Jews end up? They're over here. So this is how in our Bible, which we know our Bible is not chronologically in the proper order at all, but it's dispensational order. So you've got your Genesis to Malachi. You've got your Matthew to John. You've got your book of Acts. Suddenly we got Romans to Philemon. Acts being transitional over into Paul's books. When the Gentiles are taken out, the fullness of the Gentiles are taken out and become in, and the rapture takes place, we go back to the Jews in the tribulation, and there's the books right there. 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, James, Jude, Hebrews. That's why they're over here in your Bible. That book is in dispensational order. Now, another fact of that, because remember we talked to this guy in Germany, and he said his German Bible doesn't have his books in that order. So you can't rightly divide a German Bible. You can't rightly divide some of those foreign Bibles. English Bible, King James. It's the only one that shows this thing. That's why those books are where they are in your Bible. We still need to read them. No doubt about it. So, there's that stuff. So let's take a break.